All right, ladies, gentlemen, I want to thank you for your patience. We got we're going to ask the questions now about involving step five, pretty much.
No, it's not.
All right, your turn.
We're back on?
Oh, yes.
Okay, we're back here in the Big Book Workshop with Victor and Roy. So, are there any questions to either one of us?
Yeah. The resentment sheet I handed out to you, some of you had something picked, so you raise your hand. Go ahead. Whoever, you pick one, right?
Pick on Lee.
I just have a question about the way you presented that. Are there other people that I did that exact same thing to?
Yes.
Does it talk about that? I tell you how to do it? That's all of a sudden seemed like, wait, I don't think I ever did that.
Well, if you may not have done it, we're just asking a question. But it says they, like ourselves, were sick too.
Right. No, but I mean where you say, did I also do the same thing to other people that...
Yeah, in other words, if I was a cowardly bully, had I ever tried to intimidate guys?
Before.
Yeah, I had done it to other people. So then this guy does it to me, and I'm resenting him for it. So what this process does is allows me to... He's a mirror image of me. He allows me to see my own character defect.
But then you start looking at the other people you also did that to?
Yeah, I owe him amends.
No, I realize that. I just mean the process of seeing that one person that you put on your list.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you're going, wait, did I do this same behavior to other people?
That's the whole point of it. That's why it says later on in the book when they're talking about making your 8-step list. Let's see now. Now we need more action. We find a faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9 on page 76. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. If you're doing it in this kind of a protocol or whatever you want to call it, structure, it brings out the fact that the very thing I'm resenting someone for, I may have actually done to other people.
Right.
And that's where you get your character defects from, and that's where you get your list of amends.
Right.
That's what the book is designed to do, to see that I am, you know, the pot calling the kettle black.
Right.
To see that, you know, I'm angry, so I'm colliding with the other angry assholes. I'm a control freak, so I collide with the other control freak. That's the purpose of this inventory.
But at the point of what I'm asking is that I realize that when it's time to make amends and your list does come from your inventory.
Right.
But I'm asking, like, when you do the inventory,
yeah,
is there a place where I feel like if somehow this seems now, I don't know if I ever did that, that I look at it and go, are there other people that I did the same exact behavior with than the person or it's the thing that comes
it's time for you to get another sponsor, Toots. You know, who knows how to work out of the book. I've been trying to tell these people that for years. But there are good people now that are doing book workshops. Go ahead.
Okay, so we're supposed to share on, like, something that's on the
book. It's your choice.
If you want. We can put it on the board. I don't care.
Okay, so I just prayed, you know, and I was going to do my mother, but you know what? I was just telling her, I'm going to put her away.
Okay.
So
if I find my pen, I'll
be happy. I'm supposed to share on my resentment, right?
Right.
So basically, in my 30s, I tried coming into this program.
Right.
And I just hated it.
Okay.
Like, I just couldn't stand it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was because I was coming from a religious background.
Okay.
I became a Christian when I was like 22 years old. And,
I did
have a spiritual experience in one. When I came to my second meeting, that was when it was revealed that I was molested.
Okay.
And then.
Got it.
I think I went like 6 more months and then I was leaving more depressed than when I came, and I couldn't deal with everybody defining their own higher power. I just couldn't handle it at that time.
Okay.
And so then I started going to Celebrate Recovery about 5 years ago, and which is a Christian-based program.
Okay.
And I had 2 people in my life that got recovery in this program and then now are Christians.
Right.
So they kept going, you know, you gotta quit judging, you gotta quit, you know, and I was like, ugh. So finally about 3 years ago, I wanted to lose weight for a high school reunion, so I was trying to take their advice. So I went and started going to a meeting for like 2 months. Then I stopped, and then I went again about a year later. And during that meeting, I literally heard God finally say to me in it, "Are you ready to surrender? Because you're going to be here a long, long time."
Right.
So, but the judgment that I had, and then I had, and then you guys may have a problem with this, but then I heard, "You're very intolerant of what other people believe. It's not what you believe, even if you're right." You
know? Well, that might be true. But let me ask you a question now. Let's talk about what a resentment is. Comes from, of course, race and theory to refill Latin. I took 4 years of Latin, believe it or not.
You took what, 4 years of Latin?
Yeah. Omnivorumco qui primus abhorrent. That's a very good name. Omnia gallus and tres partes divisa est. Yes, it is an outside issue. Latin is an outside issue.
You went to Loyola, too.
No, I didn't. I went to... I got thrown out of a prep school for drinking. That's why I went to a nice school. I never made it. I'm an alcoholic, too. You know, the book says, like, when you're approaching people, they might have a stronger religious background than you have. They might know more about these theological concepts.
Yeah,
and then they're always wondering about... And he says they're probably wondering, well, how come it's working for you and it didn't work for me? And I'm this devout Christian practicing, etc. The answer, of course, is, and Bill talks about it in the Throne Film too, it's about the quality. And it's also, this is about building a personal relationship with a higher power. I mean, so let's, you're pissed off at OA. Are you still, you know, what is a resentment? A resentment means somebody's in my head that I don't want to be in my head. I'm waking up.
Right, the resentment was is that I didn't like the program, but I felt like this was where I was supposed to be, but I didn't want to be here.
All right, well, it says we go back through our lives, so this would be an old resentment for you.
Well,
but I'm not against that. You mentioned the chronological approach. You can do that. You can go, like, years 1 through 5.
I mean, it was judgment. I had a lot of judgment, and I couldn't understand the 12 steps because of so much judgment, but now coming down because God's bringing
it. All right, well, this is an old resentment. Do you have anything a little more current, a little more spicy? Here's a Lucas.
I have a resentment.
All right, here we go.
And this is deep-seated and different from, like, you know, when I first came in and had all that success. My biggest resentment in my life is towards myself for my years of drug addiction and body obsession and abusing substances that caused me to pass out, injure myself, and now I have to live the rest of my life with chronic pain and fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
I can't accept my part in it, but I'm still, and it's brought me to this point, but I'm still really hate myself for what I'm in now.
The book talks about remorse and we restore it ourselves. It does mention that. You can put yourself on the list if you're pissed off at yourself. I still have some things that I regret. The book says we will not regret the past and wish to shut the door on it. Now, I don't shut the door on it. I talk about it because it might be of use to others. But I regret pissing away. You know, I inherited a bunch of money when I was 2 years on recovery, you know, coming out of a fog. You know, and I pissed half of that away. I regret that. I regret my first sponsor. He wasn't a big book guy. That was a bad choice. By the way, it's real important in the context of the fifth step, who you choose for your sponsor. Here's my suggestion. Pray for God to show you the right sponsor. This is a spiritual program. It's not group therapy. Ask God to put the right teacher in your life. You know, this is a spiritual process. I'm clear about what I'm driving at when we go into the book. Okay, but you're mad at yourself. Why? Because you caused yourself long-term physical suffering.
Lifetime.
Pardon me?
Lifetime.
Lifetime physical suffering. Caused myself lifetime physical suffering. Lifetime physical suffering. Suffering. So, what area? All right, the seven areas of self, does it affect your self-esteem? You think, oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the book thumpers like to say, I, you know, when they say it's affecting my self-esteem, that must mean I thought I was something up here, and this kicks the shit out of it. So you thought you were intelligent enough to handle the situation on your own. See, I thought I could handle this.
Can I put a sub question in there?
Sure.
So when I asked my current wife to marry me during a reprieve of the pain,
right,
there was supposed to be no more pain, and now she chooses to stay with me even though I now feel I'm no longer good enough because I'm not the person who proposed.
Mm-hmm.
And on a daily basis,
so you're feeling less than, like, you're not the man.
Yeah, because it affects money.
Does it affect your sex relations? We have a question.
Absolutely.
Well, that's why it's here. What do you think? Bill's going to let you off the hook. Affects my relation with my wife. My confidence with my wife and with my marriage.
Yeah.
In my marriage. Okay, of course it affects that. Does it affect your pocketbook?
Yes.
Yeah, doctor bills, right?
Ability to earn.
Yeah, and earning. Earning capacity. How about ambition? What you want out of life? Can't go to medical school. Wow.
Can't sit for long periods of time. Too tired to focus.
Yeah. That's a real health issue. How about personal relations? Does it affect it?
Absolutely.
Can't be as gregarious as you might want to be? Or?
I'm mean to my wife when I don't want to be, but I'm in pain, and she sees it.
Yeah,
and she's
grouchy and in pain. Grouchy.
You know, some of this I need to see a therapist.
it's
what I'm working on.
You got to forgive yourself. Look, I may have screwed up my knees running. When I was drunk, I was compulsive exercise to deal with the food issue. And I wasn't sane. I would run downhills in San Francisco. I may have really screwed up my knees long term. It's just, well, what can I do about that? I was an idiot. I didn't know any better. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. This is all about mastering resentment, forgiving yourself. Okay, so you were a compulsive overeater and a drug abuser. You think you're going to, do you think you're going to make the best decisions for your well-being? I mean, there's guys doing life now that are sober in AA in jail. They're going to meetings and they're doing the best they can. But I just heard a guy speak a few months ago. He did 18 years for murder in a blackout, but now he's sober. So he's got like 20 years of sobriety. 18 of them were in the joint, you know. Security. I guess it affects your financial security a little bit.
A little.
Yeah. Financial, emotional, and your marriage security.
Yeah.
Pride. I should have known better.
Number one.
Yeah. I should have known better. So you're mad at yourself. All right. This must be made. So these, you got to, what fear was associated with this? All right, so a fear associated with self-esteem, I thought I could handle that. But maybe the fear is that maybe I'm an incompetent or something, or afraid I don't have good judgment.
The fear is, how am I going to live the rest of my life?
All right. That could be, yeah, how am I going to live the rest of my life like this? Oh, by the way, we didn't go into the fear inventory, which is part. The inventory, this is the resentment inventory. The book also has a separate section on the fear inventory, and then a separate section on the sexual inventory. Then it mentions most alcoholics, most compulsive readers owe money. That's the financial inventory. So it's really broken up into resentments, fear inventory, the sexual inventory, and the financial inventory. And then also, is there anybody that you feel hurt or guilty, who you hurt or feel guilty about? But that maybe there's no resentment connected to it. You know, it's just somebody, you can't walk in that store because you shouted at the waiter or something. You know you were out of line. And you don't resent the waiter, you're not thinking of him, but you remember every time you go past that restaurant, you were really rude to that guy and you were out of line. So, I mean, this is basically the overview of the inventory. All right, pocketbook. Yeah, that can. What's the fear there? You won't have enough money to live.
You know what? I'm a respiratory therapist.
Yeah.
And I cannot work night shifts because of the nerve pain. And yeah. I can't do day shift position because you have to start at night.
I won't have enough money.
I can't. I'm still basically unemployed.
Yeah. Ambition can't go to medical school. Fear there is I'll never fulfill my potential. Whatever. You put it in your words.
You know, also ambition is my wife just TMI had her IUD removed. She wants to have a child. How am I going to be an effective father when I'm retired?
I'll never be a provider for a family. I'm putting it in my words. You put it in your words. That's the important thing. It's your inventory. Personal relationships. What's the fear? I'm going through the pain. I'm going to alienate my friends or alienate my loved ones.
You know, usually I get into bed a lot at night, and my wife asks me if I'm mad at her.
Oh wow! You know, yeah. I'm afraid.
I'm pain.
Yeah, so you're afraid of alienating your loved ones.
Yeah, my wife. You know, my wife gets alienated because there's times where I can't even have her touch me.
Yeah.
You know, so again, you know, it's always when we got together, I was a very happy person, full of life. And now I can still be happy, but because of what I caused to my body, I'm not a happy person anymore.
Sex relations, excellent. So the fear is maybe she'll leave you.
No, I'm not afraid of that.
Okay.
That's the sexual part is sometimes the pain is so bad that I can't perform.
All right, I'm afraid I can't.
I have no interest.
Afraid of performing.
And I'm a horny man.
Performing marital duties, as they say. I hear you, my brother. Security, financial, emotional. Oh, yeah, there's all sorts of fears associated with that. Yeah. I'm afraid I'll never be happy again, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Afraid I'll never be happy again.
Afraid I'll never earn. Afraid I won't be a good father. Afraid I just... A lot of...
Pride. Yeah. I should have known better. People think I'm... Well, the fear of that is... Maybe I'm in a... You know, I just can't manage my own life, which is... I'll tell you, the book talks about we're driven by 100 forms of fear, but all these 100 forms of fear are distilled down to one fear that is on my own power, I just can't cope. And the truth that set me free was on my own power, I just can't cope. That's why I need a higher power. This program is about finding God. It always has been, it always will be. People don't want it to be that way. They want to make it unsupervised group therapy, but it is about, it's a spiritual program.
I have a solution that I have every day, and it's the hope that I may, that I'm participating mostly this program and a drug program, and that I may just be of service to someone else. That is my prayer every morning, and that's what I live for, that by participating, I'll help someone. And that's the only solution I can take from all this.
Okay.
I might help someone. Does it answer all my other shit and give me relief? No, but it gives me a reason to continue to go forward and be as positive as possible.
Well, you got to pray for yourself then. God, help me forgive myself for making this bad mistake. You know, God, save me from anger at myself. Show me how to be kind and tolerant and show goodwill to myself. Now, on the reverse side, when you create... You created some wreckage in your body because of drug abuse. Is that the basic bottom line?
I was starving myself, taking legal stimulants to increase my metabolism, and exercising compulsively so I could lose weight. I didn't eat for 10 days, and then I would just take these stimulants and work out, and then I'd go out and binge for 10 days.
Yeah.
I never lost weight.
So you did a lot of damage to your body.
Yeah.
Well, were you selfish?
Yes.
Yes, I wanted to be thin, but... Right now, you know, I want what I want now. Why do you think I go on a Stillman diet where I'm eating 26 hamburgers a day? You know, that's what you do on a Stillman diet. You flush it out with water.
Yeah.
Liquid protein. I didn't have solid food for a month.
I did a lot of that.
You know, I want what I want now. I want to be thin now. I want that number on the scale now. Okay? Were you dishonest with yourself? You think so? How?
I told myself that I was fat and not worthy of anyone.
Yeah, well, you had body dysmorphia. Had you made contact with the program at this point? No.
I've been in and out since the age of 15. I wasn't aware of the food program.
Were you self-seeking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what is the difference between selfish and self-seeking? I'm an AA history nut. I'm a member of their group. Nobody has been able to definitively give the real meaning. If you look it up in the dictionary, it's almost like tautologically, you know, it's
is self-seeking attaining the end result, versus well, the selfishness is...
Well, some people say self-seeking is... you're selfish is what you want out of the situation. Self-seeking is the selfish actions you take to get what you want. Another guy, what the heck was his name? I forget his name. He's an old timer. He used to have his sponsors would be calling up with this and that, and he was working, and he had no time for this nonsense on the phone. So he cut to the chase. He said, "All right, what did you want out of the situation?" That's what selfish is. Okay, what role were you trying to play in there? Okay, that's self-seeking. In other words, you wanted to impress this young lady at work. What you really wanted was to date her. And so, what role were you playing? Oh, I'm going to show you the ropes at work. And meanwhile, you know, she told you to piss off. I got a boyfriend and all this. And then, you know, you can define it how you want. Somebody say, yes, go ahead.
I've always heard self-seeking, at least that's what I thought, was, you know, wanting praise from other people to admire you. That's kind of...
one guy, you know, you can... I'm not making any dictums here. There's nothing in stone. Nobody ever, for some reason, never nailed Bill Wilson and said, what the hell do you mean by what's the difference between selfish and selfish? Some people say selfish is what I don't want to give to you, and self-seeking is what I want that you got that I want. You know what I'm saying? They're all good working definitions. Every one of the things we just mentioned. What do I want out of the situation? What role am I trying to play in the situation? What are my selfish thoughts or what do I want? My selfish actions and self-seeking. The thing you just said about self-seeking is, you know, yeah, it doesn't matter. But what Lucas wanted was to be thin now, I think. You know?
I wanted to
look good. Yeah, I wanted to be a studly guy. Were you frightened? Yeah? Were you frightened maybe that OA is the long, slow, painful way of doing things?
I didn't know I needed OA at that time.
So you,
I was aware of it from an ex-girlfriend, but...
Yeah, well, that's why you really got to forgive yourself. But it may require a lot of prayer, and the best way is to get out of yourself by helping others. You've already hit on the solution. Where was I to blame? Well, I did things to my body I shouldn't have done. Did I make a decision based on self, which put me in a position to be hurt? That's one of the lines in the book. Yes, you did, didn't you? Did I set the ball of fear rolling? Well, yeah, I've done it too many times. Did I step on... Well, you didn't step on anybody else's toes. It's your own self you did it to. What should I have done instead? Joined OA. Okay? So, you can do inventory on it, but, you know, this is a matter of prayer and counsel and spiritual advice. You already know the solutions. You know, your story can... No matter how far down the scale we've gone, we found that our stories can help others. And there's one of the great lines in the book, and I forget where it is now, but it's... It's our dark past holds the key to life for others. I think it's in the family afterward or something. And that's why these stories are so powerful in OA. That's why Harlan's such a popular speaker. He weighed 700 pounds. Now he's normal, kind of. So, that's what happens. The very fact you're willing to share that with us is helpful. Yeah. Do we have any of this going on? Somebody had a hand.
Yeah, I have a question. So these questions
are right out of the book. You guys know what all this notation means, right? I mean, I'm just putting down the page number and the paragraph number. And if it's not indented at the top of a page, that's called a carryover paragraph. Like this paragraph here is 770. This paragraph is 77.1. This is 77.2. See?
So, I'm supposed to know, it says resentments must be mastered. I'm having such a hard time with that word mastered. I don't know if you mean that just the handle. That
what do you think is another word for mastering resentments? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And forgiveness gets a bad word. Because people think, let's say you've been molested as a kid. That's a heavy one, because you really didn't have a part in that. Right? You weren't to blame. You know, forgiveness just means, and this comes from Emmett Fox. Bill Wilson always had four books on his desk at all time. Two of them he wrote himself. There was a big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 and 12 Alcoholics Anonymous, the Holy Bible, because he did come in through the Oxford Group as a Christian. And the fourth one was a book called Sermon on the Mount by Emmett Fox. And in that book, he says, Sermon on the Mount, he says that forgiveness gets a bad word because people think you got to approve or like the person that did this thing or just. He says that means nothing of the sort. He says that to keep somebody prisoner, you have to have two people, the prisoner and the jailer. It says what you're doing when you forgive somebody is you're cutting the bonds that tie you to that person. When I got a resentment, I'm waking up thinking about the last person on the planet I want to think about. Okay? And I'm just cutting the bonds of hatred. It said, "What? Here, you know, I didn't even mention this. It was such an." People say the program is magical. Nobody, how does this thing work? Nobody knows. They haven't read the big book. It says, this is the how and the why of it. You want to know how the program works? This is the how and the why of it. We got to quit playing God. It's in the section on the third step. And how do I quit playing God? When I got a name on that list, he's the perp, I'm the victim, he's guilty, I'm innocent, he did this to me, he deserves to be punished. I've judged him and allocated the punishment. Okay? We got to quit playing God. Mastering resentment means forgiveness. It means I have to see that he's sick, he's a child of God. The people I'm hating are children of God too. They're just sick. I mean, I created so much wreckage out there in the act of addiction. My parents, I found out my mother used to cry herself to sleep for years over me. She couldn't believe what the hell was happening to me. You know, the book talks about the wives or families that we so shockingly treated, you know. This is the kind of stuff this is the kind of tornadoes we are and the wreckage we create. So the key to this mastering resentments means they're sick. I would have done better if I had known better, like with Lucas, his resentment in himself. He would have done better if he'd known better. You got to let yourself off the hook. You were sick, dude. And I forgive you. You know, I know that doesn't help with the physical problems, but so that's what mastering resentment means, forgiveness. And by the way, I have made amends to people for where was I to blame? If I got a resentment, I'm waking up thinking about the last person on the planet I want to be thinking about. And what I realize is when I do the inventory and see where was I to blame? Did I make a decision? Did I set the ball fear rolling? Did I step on his toes? Was I selfish, dishonest, self-seeking? Was I frightened? I answer those questions. And that's, I might have had 1% in the resentment, and he might have been 99% the asshole. You know, I said, hey man, what's the matter with you? I'm going to knock your block off, you know. He's overreacting. But I will not lose the resentment until I clean up my little 1%. I have to take 100% responsibility for my 1% in the resentment. Okay? And I have made amends to people that I wouldn't shake their hands. A couple people in the program. Hey, God bless you. Good luck to you. I'll see you when I see you. I don't think we fit together socially, but I wish you well. To forgive someone does not mean you have to approve of what they did. Did you have to like them? Did you have to associate with them? It means nothing of the sort. Herb Kagan's workshop, he talked about you don't have to forego social justice. If somebody burglarized your house and traumatized you, you can forgive them, but you can press charges. It just means you're not thinking about this asshole all the time. That's what forgiveness means, yes.
So if
I was abused as a 9-year-old.
Okay.
The person's dead.
Okay.
So, how do we do that?
Well, you still wake up thinking about him?
No.
No. Well, you don't have, for one thing, this case of abuse comes up a lot, of course. It's very common. Men and women, too, by the way. And, you know, you don't have to keep a family secret. That's being dishonest, you see. If, let's say the guy was still alive and it was your uncle and your cousin, who's his daughter, invites you to her wedding, and you know you're going to be sitting across from Uncle Joe and he did this to you. You can tell your cousin, look, I can't go because something happened between me and your father years ago. That's just inappropriate, and I don't want to talk about it, and I don't want to mess up your wedding. I want to send you a present and whatever, you know. And but I can't sit across from your dad. And you have the right to take care of yourself that way. You know, I know a woman that was... seduced by her psychiatrist or therapist or something, and she couldn't get over it, and so she reported it to the state medical board, you know, and helped, you know, she had to get over the resentment. You don't have to forego social justice. You don't have to keep a family secret. You don't have to subject yourself to their presence. You just have to not be thinking about them all the time, you see. Which, yes, did you have a question?
I just had a comment when you were done.
Unless you have anything else.
Yeah, I mean, the dead, the fact that they're dead, I mean...
Well, my first sponsor was a complete train wreck. He was a fifth step inventory confidence violator. The book says he must be able to keep confidence. He did not know what we were driving at. This is AA, not OA. My OA sponsors were nice people. He was a sick dude. A very sick dude, and two of his sponsors committed suicide. He didn't have the goods. He would tell me, I have 14 years of sobriety. Bill Wilson only had 4.5 years when he wrote that book. I knew more than him. That's what he was coming. He was a real jerk, and that's why I'm such a Big Book guy today, because I found that that literature is reliable. It has never lied to me. I will let you down. I'm not a saint. I've been fired by a few sponsors and figured out I wasn't a saint, which I was trying to tell them from the beginning anyway. And I fired a few sponsors over the years. People in the program will let me down, you know.
But what is the death rule?
What is the what?
When the perpetrator has died.
Well, what do you get? You can't. There's absolutely no use in resenting a man, because you can't even punish them if they were alive. I mean, so you got to give up the resentment. You got to see how sick they were, and you got to, you know, there's nothing you can do. Maybe tell your story so it can benefit others. But you say you're not waking up thinking about it, except when you wake up thinking about it.
Yeah.
Right
now. Actually, now that I'm talking about it, yeah. You know, there's some.
See that, and I never think about my first sponsor except when we're talking about the subject of sponsorship. I can see him as a sick person, but you know, I use my story to benefit others. That's why I'm such a book guy today, because the book's reliable. People are not. Did you have a hand? There's some people with hands.
Well, I was.
She had a hand. This red lady and then the white lady.
Yeah, this is only years ago. Our conversation was before that. Had we not talked about my not liking that somebody tattled on me, I wouldn't get that that's going on now. And I am obsessed about a woman who lives in my condo, mm-hmm. like to a point where it's like the Hatfields and McCoys.
That it what?
It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Yeah.
There's such bad feelings between it.
What did she do to you to make you angry?
Well, we run the homeowners board together, yeah. And basically she knew not too, same situation as we were talking about. She didn't know too much about something that I knew more of, but she was very dismissive. She didn't listen. She caused a lot of problems. Now she is the president. I got off the board. People go to her. She closes the door on them, and they come to me. And I don't know what it is about the situation. I mean, I am obsessed, but the gossip part is that I complain about her.
Okay. Well, I'm subjected to the process. You know, this is Another thing I might say is to subject that one to the process, to the lady. I was not abused and molested as a kid, so you may have to go find a sponsor who's been through it and been through the process, because I cannot transmit what I do not have. If I don't have direct experience with a situation, I would direct you to somebody who's been through it and gotten over it.
My experience with that has been that I am only responsible. He's dead, but I am responsible for afterwards and how I have perpetrated this harm on myself in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was not responsible as a child for what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And my not forgiving him for what he did just simply perpetrated the resentment, anger, the fury, the pain. And until I was able to let go, forgive, and let go, I could not recover myself.
Excellent. Not only is it excellent, it reminds me that in the sex inventory, which is a part of the inventory process, we're asked to help to answer these questions so that God can help mold our sex ideals. And an incident like that, yes, you didn't have a part in that when you were a kid, obviously, but it may have warped your entire relationships with men for the rest of your life. And you may have rejected some men who were decent guys because they looked a little bit like this guy or for whatever reason. So it should be subjected to a thorough analysis, you know. I'm sorry.
Sure. I was just struck by what you said and thought about I had heard a woman speak whose alcoholic husband had set the house on fire and their four children died.
Wow.
And she's in another program that, you know, sober.
Yeah,
and she's
absolutely.
32 years sober and still, you know, 15 years would speak about how she wanted him dead, even though he was already dead.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to kill him, and a woman came up and grabbed her and said, when you were sick,
mm-hmm.
did you do things that you would
mm-hmm.
never do otherwise?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yes. And that woman said to her, can you excuse me, but just that he was sick.
Yeah.
That it does not forgive the four children's lives, but that, you know, it's like they say, it's burning down the house because to get rid of the rat in the cellar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the destruction that stays within us.
Yeah.
And when I heard that woman's story, obviously something we would never wish on anyone.
Right.
But for her to have freedom from something like that, to me, it gives me hope for the things that sometimes still stick in my soul.
That's absolutely true. I mean, I had a head-on collision. A blackout, I could have killed 400 people. If I was going to murder you, I could have killed 400 people if I was drunk that night. That's the kind of tornadoes we are. And this process of forgiveness is about not playing God. This is the hound wire. He's sick. Sick people do, you know. My buddy Frank, the bear, he woke up in a jail cell. He figured, okay, drunk and disorderly. Maybe I took a poke at a cop. What am I in here for? Manslaughter? And he shot a guy in a blackout. He had no didn't remember what it was about. And he did 7 years or whatever. He got the program. I mean, people are sick, and they create all sorts of wreckage. So, you know, could you have a question, young lady?
I had a question for both of you on. I know the big book talks about just doing the inventory of our handicaps. And then in OA, we're told to do sort of a positive trait inventory. What's your personal opinion on doing that as part of your inventory?
Well, I didn't overeat over my assets. You know, like, I didn't overeat over, I have a pretty good sense of humor. I may have some good qualities, you know.
I thought it was being online with the character defect.
I have no objection. If you want to put down a positive, later in the 10th step, he talks about there's never a day where we don't have them done something right or help somebody. And that's fine. You want to put down your good qualities, put them down. I mean, I have no problem with anybody doing any other format. They're not mutually exclusive. The big book says, upon recovery for food addiction, we have no monopoly. The big book says we have no monopoly on God. Okay? You want to use other formats, other approaches. They're not mutually exclusive. You could do this, and you could do that. You could put down a list of assets. I don't care. I know what this is driving at. What this is driving at is getting me to see that Roy running on Roy Power creates some serious shit. You know, it creates a bunch of names on a list where I step on their toes and they retaliate. It creates financial wreckage, sexual wreckage. It creates secrets, guilt, and fears. And then I need to see that there's got to be a better way. Okay? And what does the book say? I want to find that line. It's in the section dealing with mastering resentment, as I recall. Let's see here. About the obstacles, it says, though our decision was a vital and crucial step, the third step decision could have little permanent effect unless it once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our overeating was but a symptom. We had to get down to causes and conditions. Okay? So, let's see, where the hell is that thing? It's in the section on the fear problem. It says we can't get rid of these fears by just wishing them away. You know, we had to go. We asked ourselves why we had these fears. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us had great self-confidence, didn't fully solve the fear problem or the food problem or the molested as a kid problem or any other problem. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Perhaps there's a better way. We think so. For we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. It's on page 68. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. Second paragraph, full paragraph down. So that's what this inventory, that's what this process is about. I'm not sure what other processes are about. All I have is my truth. My truth is this. To get the promises on 83, 84, and 85, and I got them, thank you God, I had to do what was on 1 through 82. That's my truth. If you can put those promises in your life through any other formats or sponsors or programs, how now, brown cow, I don't care. You know, go for it. You know, I don't have any monopoly on therapy for compulsive overeating. I don't have any monopoly on God. But this is the original process. We just celebrated 75 years, April 10th, in the big book. And as far as I know, it's been sober ever since it's been on the program. So, any other questions?
I'll jump in and just answer that by saying in the big book it talks about becoming a worker among workers. And one of the things that happened to me before I got in program was that everything that I did that was good had to be better than anyone else had ever done in the world. And anything that I did was bad had to be worse than anyone else because I had no sense of balance. I had no true humility. And by being able to break down my ego by going through this process, rather than leaving once again just a vacuum for that stuff to fill back up again, it was important for me to understand and balance who I was. And humility has nothing to do with humiliation. Humility is understanding not only my defects, but also my character strengths too. And because of the size of my ego, I would need to go through this first before I can begin to go back in the balance of the other side that says, I'm not necessarily bad in these areas as well. So if it helps you get a better sense of who you are, and I'm sorry, I forget the name of the gentleman back there again, that, you know, to be able to forgive myself, I have to have something to like about myself. So if I do as part, somewhere along the line of my inventory, some of the things that are my character assets, I see nothing wrong with that after a certain point as well, too.
Yeah,
More questions?
I just want to say, I found something online that it goes through all the character defects. It lists like 32 of them. Uh-huh. And each one has a definition of like 15. So it's really thorough. Like, you have to find yourself on this list of the character defects. But then somebody wrote online, well, can somebody tell me what the opposite of some of these are? So they list like five at the end of them, like, you know, just some really good uh-huh. things. That just kind of, because if you have a lot of self-hatred, you kind of need to look at some of those because you're already like always...
Well, that is why I included that last question, which I've done instead, because it comes from the sex inventory, but it says we're going to treat sex like any other problem, like it was resentment. So we're going to inventory and answer questions and columns. So if I say, well, if you can treat sex like it was a resentment, I'll treat a resentment like it was sex. So I'll ask, what should I have done instead?
Right.
And that gives me a clue to the asset. In other words, I'm a control freak. I tried to control a meeting, and it put me in collision with another member. Right? Created resentment. What should I have done instead? I should let go and honor group consciousness and let God be in control. So the asset is humility. The defect is control. So that's why that's on there. But what you know, fine.
Sometimes
you want
to,
yeah, you want to list assets, list assets.
Right,
I got
but
no
there's
problem.
Something really good online that really goes through both.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff up there. And by the way, you know, there's zillions of books on this and workshops, and I'll be glad to direct anybody to a bunch of my friend Dan S. I didn't bring his Awakening guy with me, but he has the Big Book Awakening. He's very popular.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine in the beverage program. I'll direct you to it. Did you have a question?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to say, just share what helped me with forgiveness
mm-hmm.
was realizing that I wasn't doing it for them. I was doing it for to set myself
absolutely
free.
Right.
And that it also didn't mean that they weren't responsible. So
right.
Forgiveness doesn't take the responsibility.
Oh, absolutely. And you don't have to pretend you don't have to have anything to do with them. You know, and by the way, if Uncle Joe molested you and he's not acknowledging the family secret, if you find out that another cousin's going to leave the kids with Uncle Joe, you can say something. You don't. Lori C. did at his OA Big Book workshop for the birthday party a few years ago. He said, you know, if somebody bumps into you and doesn't say excuse me, it's okay to say, don't you say excuse me? Because they're going to bump into other people and be a lout, you know. If somebody's behavior is going to harm other people, you can call them on it. You know, it's all about not being obsessed. And a resentment is like a food obsession. I don't want to be thinking about food all day, and I'm thinking about food all day. I don't want to be thinking about some jerk and what he did to me. And I'm thinking about some jerk and what he did to me. It's another form of the obsession. And we just want to let it go. Doesn't mean we have to have anything to do with the person. You know?
So now that you've gotten rid of a lot of this stuff, what do you think about now? Like, what would you replace it all with?
Internet
now
that
you're
porn.
Not thinking about...
restrain. Okay. While you're thinking, it says in the book, in the morning practice, you know, we ask God to direct our thinking to portion from self-pity, dishonest, self-seeking motives. It said our thought life will be on a higher plane. I tried to meditate in my early days. I had some killer resentments when I was about 7 years on the program. And I'd be trying to meditate and I'd be twitching. It was like something out of The Exorcist. If I could have had a video, I could give myself an observation. But those steps are meant to be done in order. Until I've done the house cleaning, I don't have the channels open. Bill talks a lot in this book about the channels and the St. Francis prayer and the channeling peace and all this kind of stuff. If I'm, it's blocking. It's Ray O'Keefe, one of my favorites. He's dead now. He died with about 39 years of sobriety. He used to say, "I suffer from spiritual constipation, too much me unpassed." And what you're doing when you do the inventory thing is you're removing what's blocking you from the channels of a higher power. And if I'm hating some idiot who's a sick person too, and therefore I've judged him, I played God. If I don't see him as a sick person, or I see him as the evil perp and I'm the innocent victim, I'm playing God. And this is the how and the why, but we got to quit playing God. And so this is all about removing the obstacles which block me. And I couldn't meditate with a quiet mind until I'd done inventory and read some of these resentments. And when I did it, and this book process worked, and my first sponsor's opinions didn't work, that's when I became a savage book thumper. Because I realized that this book was right all along, and this guy was just giving me... There are people in the program, not so much in OA. OA really respects the original message. They really do. One of the last times I saw Roseanne, she was at Samuel's book study. He was an NA guy who helped a lot of OA people. He did a book study. And so one of the... There's people in the other program, more and more so, that will bet your life on their opinions of what this thing is. I will not do that. I had it done to me. And I will not bet my life or a newcomer's life on anything but what's in this book. It's the original program. And it's a very simple program, but it's you have to know what we're driving at. You know, it's a life and death mission. It's all about an addict who's not spiritually connected will probably pick up again. You'll pick up the first compulsive bite. It's called the insidious insanity of the first compulsive bite. It's in Bill's story. The insidious insanity of the first drink.
One more question.
We got two more. Courtney.
Okay, it's kind of a technical question. Today in the kitchen sink, the leader said, you know, don't spend 3 years on your fourth step.
Right.
This is a lot of...
If you go back through when you're 1 to 5, and then 5 to 10, and your middle school years 10 to 14, and then your high school year 14 to 18, and then your college years, you may have 300, 400 names. But it says in the book, nothing counts but thoroughness and honesty. I am willing to sit down for an hour and a half a day, and we'll break it up into 5-6 sessions and listen to this guy's. If he's willing to do the work, I'm willing to show up for him as a sponsor. I know it seems a bit tedious, but you know the real killer resentments are those that are in your head now. So you might want to do a quick attack focus inventory on it. But the book says we went back through our lives. Now that seems to indicate the chronological process. Nothing counts but thoroughness or honesty. You may have been pissed off at Jimmy because he used to bully you when you were 5 years old. You haven't thought about him for years. But at one time, it's worth putting down if you want to do it. I am not against people. And I'm willing to spend the time if the guy's willing to do the work. Did you have one last question, blonde lady?
I just really wanted to say thank you. I always feel like I'm always doing it wrong after, you know, almost 13 years in program. So... I just really appreciate you guys taking the time. Because I always feel like I'm always doing it wrong. I'm always looking for the right way to do it. I'm not saying this is the right way. I'm just saying I love having the direction. I love having the order and the thoroughness.
I help my sponsors write their inventory. Now, I think, what's her name, Linda S? No, Susan L. puts on a book workshop. Marcy does a book workshop. Herb K. who does a non-denominational bookshop for any program members. There's a zillion of them going on. Dan S. has got the Big Book Awakening thing going on. The point is, if you do the best you can to stay close to the Big Book format and get an experienced sponsor in that format, and I have no problem with any other format, I know what this is driving at. I know what this is about. It's about quit playing God. And then I got to see that on running on Roy Reliance, I am going to create wreckage. It's that simple. I don't manage my life well. Even after I was in recovery, I mismanaged my life quite a bit, unfortunately. And I do regret it. I mean, like the lady regrets, you know, Lucas regrets the damage he did. I regret my first sponsor. I regret pissing away a small fortune early in recovery. I regret some things, but what can you do? You got to forgive yourself. But I can't live with resentment, though. I'll pick up a candy bar again someday. Okay, and I like being thin and passing for normal. Only you guys know I'm crazy. Thank you.
One more quick question. They want us to be out by 4.
I'll be glad to stay out in the lot. I'll talk to anybody.
You can stay out there as long as we want.
Thank you for always organizing these.
Oh, you're quite thank you. Yeah. Yeah. It's about service. I mean, 10 years is just a little. Could we hold hands and just say
thank you so much.
Is there any prayer or something?
You should not hold my hands because I got some
elbows.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep me on the mat if it works, if you work it, and you work it.
Thank you.
Oh, man. I feel good about that.